Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. And together with our supporters, we're pleased to bring you this broadcast on CJMQ Radio. Whether you are listening live or following up on a recording later, may God be present to you in a way that is real and meaningful. Today, we're going to a wedding with Jesus. Here are words from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Chapter 62, in which the presence and purposes of God are set up as a wedding. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silence. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted, or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you.
Whose goodness faileth.
Let us pray. God of light and life, you shine into our lives in your Son Jesus, and your Spirit strengthens us to face whatever this year will hold. And so we come to praise you for your love and grace, which transforms our days and our lives, and for your wisdom, which enlightens truth for our times. Meet with us in this time of reflection. Hear our prayers, receive our praise, as we honour you as our Creator, our Saviour, our Sustainer. God of all life and our lives, we come seeking your refreshing presence, but we confess sometimes we're discouraged by things happening around us. We don't expect your presence to make a difference. Forgive us when we give up on you and end up feeling unfulfilled. By your grace, refresh us when we are weary or worried and renew our trust in you. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. No power in heaven or on earth can separate us from your great love. And so we take heart, knowing that we are forgiven. Open our ears to hear your truth, and open our hearts to receive an understanding of how to live that truth as we follow Jesus, your living word. Amen. Our wedding story is to be found in John's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." But his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples, and there they stayed for a few days. Amen.
Oh,
So many people love a wedding, and love a wedding for all kinds of reasons. This new year, if I can still call it new, might be the one in which a long-planned celebration is going to take place. The months, perhaps years of planning and anticipation coming to fruition. We bid you joy as the day draws near. Others, perhaps as widow or widower, recall with thanksgiving the day that they exchanged vows with a beloved and made a commitment that indeed it was only death that was the parting of you. Others know the pain of the breakdown of such relationships, yet still hold to a picture of what human relationships could be like, should be like, even when we ourselves have let ourselves down, or when others have let us down. As a minister, I have of course conducted weddings and often seen the joy of people who are not particularly religious being caught up in the sense of something bigger than themselves, something invisible but no less real, the making of vows and promises, the commitment to values, the reality of love. Jesus performed his first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. What better place for the love of God to be displayed than in the circumstances of human love being affirmed and celebrated? In various places in the Old Testament, Israel is referred to as God's bride. But in the New Testament, we see a fuller picture of this as the church, those who trust in Jesus for salvation, is seen as the bride of Christ. And Jesus used the wedding as a metaphor for entering God's kingdom, in which great joy is found in the company of others who participate in the love that God offers. Of all the times and places and circumstances to perform his first miracle, it was at a wedding. Was this merely an accident, or was there not some divine hint that in the context of human love, God's love was being revealed by changing water into wine? The key to understanding the miracle is the kind of water that Jesus used. There were 6 water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. These were in place to wash the feet and hands of people attending for ritual washing. This was substantial stoneware. And they needed this water to ritually cleanse themselves so that they could draw near to God, to come into his presence and perform religious rituals. The jars represented outward purification. So when Jesus converts water into wine, this is no mere physical transformation of chemical properties to save a family friend from embarrassment. The miracle symbolized that Jesus was able to change the stone-cold way of a human religion into a living and joyful relationship with himself, likened to a wedding celebration. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he has accomplished for us what the law was unable to accomplish. He has cleansed us from sin in a way that the law and the ritual washings couldn't do. And that is what would be accomplished when his hour, his dying and rising, had come. Our hearts need to be fixed, and that's what Jesus' atoning death and the work of the Holy Spirit makes possible. The new covenant is a better covenant based on better promises, and the picture presented of Jesus making all things new. This is a story of resurrection, the story of death into life, a story of transformation. The world wants us to get a new hairdo or a new wardrobe. Society wants us to get a better job and learn a new skill, and people often want to change what they look like on the outside to others. And you get that in the TV makeover shows, the makeover culture. Here's what one journalist wrote about that culture. So many of our structural hierarchies and assumptions about the right way to look, thin, well-groomed, privileged, with a normative body that is as white as possible, are deeply ingrained and difficult to isolate. And there are high stakes to these kinds of tacit judgments in practical ways. Traditionally, attractive people earn more money. Taller men are afforded more respect. Gatekeeping works to exclude people who appear undesirable without interrogating the source of that undesirability. And emotional ways, when we avert our eyes from people who are disfigured, disabled, or in other ways presenting less conventional appearances, we erode their very humanity. Not to look is not to see. God takes our ordinary lives and makes them extraordinary by giving us eternal life. He changes a hopeless person into a hopeful person. He changes a fearful person into a courageous person. He changes a doubtful person into a person who believes that they can do all things through Christ who gives them strength. Jesus takes folks who've been wandering in the wilderness and gives them a destination and a goal. He takes a life without meaning and gives it a purpose and a mission. In Jesus, by the Spirit, our God is in the transformation business, and God wants to transform you and I on the inside. And the very last book of the Bible almost finishes with these words, "Behold, I am making all things new." Amen.
There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Let us again pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you give yourself to us in marriage and intoxicate us with the wine of your love. You created everything, skies, mountains, seas, and filled the universe with your justice and faithful love. And you chose for yourself a beloved people, and in them the light of your salvation dawned for all nations. You sent your Son Jesus Christ among us to gather all people under the warmth of your wings. Sharing with us our joys and sorrows, he brought forth new gifts in us when we thought we had run dry. When his hour had come, he was cursed and killed, but you raised him to life again, and through him filled us with the wine of your Spirit, equipping each one of us with gifts to be used in your service for the common good. O God, Jesus brought joy into lives that needed hope and a new beginning. We pray for all those who need a new beginning this year. Individuals trying to make a new start. Families trying to sort through difficulties. Groups hoping to accomplish good things for others. Refugees building new homes in a new land. Students and teachers beginning new semesters. Businesses and congregations trying to rebuild. People preparing for a wedding. Show each one how much they matter to you, and renew their courage and resolve to make a fresh start. O God, Jesus changed water into wine to show us that you can accomplish extraordinary things through ordinary lives. We pray for all those volunteering their energy and concern to make a difference to others in this community, in this country, and in the Commonwealth of Nations. We pray for our elected leaders and for all government workers trying to manage their responsibilities. For Donald Trump being inaugurated as US president. For changes of leadership in parties based in Ottawa and across Canada. Lead, shepherd, and guide that all may work towards the common good. O God, Jesus faced the suffering around him with compassion, reaching out to those in pain, with grief, with healing and hope. And we remember before you those whose lives are wrapped in sorrow or despair, and those facing tragic death or critical illness. And again, we remember those rebuilding lives and communities after the wildfires in California and flooding and storm around the world, and for all those burdened by pain or problems that seem to have no end. Thank you for the strength that we can find together as part of your church and the gifts you give us in each other, gifts that we can rely on as we plan for our ministries and mission in these ever-changing times. Help us trust in the promise of your love for us and energize us with your Spirit so that we can recognize the opportunities you give us to live out the grace and mercy we know in Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Evermore. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sins upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.